It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
Welcome, everyone, to the next edition of Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
He's 2 weeks in a row. He didn't alter my name.
No, I did not. I'm just going to leave it with that.
Tommy's being formal. You
got
to love it.
Now, I know last week you got to hear the same show twice. Now, that's what you do when you bribe the station manager owner.
Okay, that's exclude how everybody works. Else. Hey, yep. And we wanted to let everybody know, our dear friend and brother Jack Cusick is going to, we're going to have phase two, talking about his career out on the field. Last week we were talking about some insights into the game. Today we're going to talk a little bit. Tommy had some great questions. You might not hear my voice, which some of you might like. But yeah, Tommy's got some great questions for Jack. We're going to talk about some of Jack's interactions with, with Major League legends, Hall of Famers.
Because we didn't get to that last time.
That stuff's got to be heard.
Anything new happening at the Den?
Anybody that's looking, we got a monster shipment of equipment. Anybody looking for bats, 40, 50% off, brand new 26s. Part of our grand opening celebration. Let us know. Instruction. Anybody, I got my right-hand man right behind me. If you want lessons from a major leaguer, Jack is readily available. If you want lessons from a couple guys that know what they're doing and not major leaguers, you can call us, and I'm sure me, Tom, or anybody else on our staff is more than happy to help you.
Yeah, Jack, again, why don't you tell the audience when you were selected in the draft, because I think that's pertinent to this show.
To this part of the conversation.
Absolutely. Well, I was drafted out of high school by the Chicago White Sox and then ended up going to Miami of Ohio. Then I was the 32nd pick in the nation by the White Sox again in 1974. And the interesting thing is I got $30,600 a month back in 1974.
That was monster. Like we said the last, that was monster money back then in the draft.
Especially the $30,000.
Yeah, well, I had to negotiate that.
That was probably worth what? 150.
Probably 150 then.
Got to be close to that.
Yeah. Well, right now the same guy last year got $3.5 million and $1.5 million salary. For
you need to go redo your contract.
Inflation.
Yeah, I kept my parents wait a little longer.
We talked a lot about mechanics, things like that. I wanted to get your take though, as I'm watching these playoffs and being a fan. At some point, I believe that all the new talent that got stuck on a small market team, Skeens, I could go down this list.
Bieber.
Are they going to end up on the Dodgers or the Yankees? Maybe the Red Sox, but lately the Red Sox have been cheap with money, and that's it shows in the playoffs. But I mean, the Dodgers. I mean, at some point, you either have to, I believe, make the Pittsburgh Pirates, some of these market teams, start either spending money and actually competing, or a salary cap. Because this, it's amazing that this hasn't happened every year, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
baseball's a funny game.
But if you look at it, it's still, only 25 guys on every roster, so you can't get, you can't just say there's only so many good players. I mean, I don't know. It depends how you look at it. If you're a player, you want the most you can get.
Yeah.
And if you're an owner, you want to give the least
amount
you have to give.
That'll be a growing pain if they try that. Because, that's not just going to, that's great. No, that's not going to happen.
But they wouldn't give it if they didn't have it. So, like I said, it all depends on, there's a minimum salary. Like I say, when I played, the minimum salary was $30,000. Now it's
$780,000. Oh, wow.
That's the minimum.
And the one thing that Jack will expound on that him and I have talked about a lot, people think, now from the perspective, $700,000 a year is a lot of money. When you get into agents, you get into taxes, everything, any pro athlete, and I'm not boo-hooing for any pro athlete that they've the entity of, but I know years ago I was approached about getting involved with a local group that wanted to put together a sports agency, and we had pro players in the building that needed representation, and there was a law firm that wanted to, and they didn't understand, they understood football. They understood that football, there's bonus up front, guaranteed money, and baseball's a little different. Now, you'll see a Skeens get $10 million, but that's it. Now, if he gets a guaranteed major league contract, which now they're starting to do,
yes,
these guys are getting drafted, and then they serve a year or two, and they go up, and they have guaranteed major league contracts. You never saw that before. So you would get the $10 million up front, and then you're $800 a month. That's what it used to be. Now you got guys, you know, they're throwing in guaranteed, you're up in 2 years, whatever it might be. But that's the part that it – but then they're stuck in that contract, whatever it might be, for 5-6 years till they go to arbitration, and then – or they go into free agency. Right. And that's the thing with Skeens. Once Skeens goes to free agency, if he stays healthy, what's the number going to be? And you're seeing a lot of big names. And now, you'd be, like I always said, Jack always thought this was – when I'd tell him this, I go – now what you've got is baseball players are basically stocks. They're going up, they're staying the same, or they're going down. If they're going down, you get them on the low end. You know, you buy short and sell high. And that's what Moneyball and the advent of modern baseball today is. But anybody that's crying about $780,000, God bless them.
Yeah.
You know, but when the possibility's there to make – I mean, they're talking about Bieber. Somebody asked me yesterday, Jack, and you would get this, and Tommy understood it. You know, if he stays in Cleveland through the injury, his arbitration number was 16,000, and he'd have got it because he won a Cy Young. He did all these things. But he was going to go into free agency, so trade him now. And they got a good guy for him. But you'll see some of these trades where it's you're looking and it's five minor leaguers for a guy that's been an all-star seven times. It's a money dump. It's bringing back talent that they're going to project on. You know, explain some of that to the people because you've seen it. Every which way. You've seen guys get traded for a carton of cigarettes. I mean, you know.
Yeah, some of the famous players I wanted you to, because I don't think people realize the era that you're playing, some of the greatest players of all time were in.
And you had some historic, a lot of people don't realize, you go back in the annals of history in the 70s and 80s, you were involved in some of the biggest, some of the greatest moments of baseball, and then some things that were historic that really, you know, that were baseball related, and some of the people. We talked about Roland Heeman. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame.
He's the best.
Top Roland three or four Heeman. GMs in, of all time.
Well, I was in the first strike with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's
and everybody thought that was about salaries, but it wasn't. It was about pensions. Because back then, to get a pension in the major leagues, you had to play 4.5 years. The average lifespan of a major leaguer is 3.5.
Yeah, career-wise.
So they didn't have to pay pensions. Now, because of the strike, everybody thought it was about salary. It was about pensions. So pensions now start from day one.
Whoa, so, I did not
Yeah, that
know
changed.
That.
Jack, yeah, when changed. Did you – because you and I talked about that when you started. There was a fight for a while, and then I know it was like 8 or 10 years ago you and I were hanging out, and you came in kind of with a smile on your face. He goes, well, they finally cleared up all the who gets what when.
Yeah, so –
and, you know, and even then, I mean, it's nice and great to have. But the ratio between what you guys did and what these guys now do, like
totally
AAA
different.
Guys are getting $500,000.
Yeah, totally you know. Different. It's just, but you know what? They wouldn't give it if they didn't have it.
Yep.
You know, and I mean that's just a sad thing. There was this thing that I think when the Cubs won the World Series, I think in '69, I think that's the year they won it. They were paying the salaries and everything for the next 10 years off what they made from the World Series. So, I mean, the owners have it. You just, you know, that's what Marvin Miller was the greatest thing that ever happened to the players.
Yes.
And he, you know.
Like changed said, the game.
He
He's
did.
In the Hall of Fame. How many times do you see an agent in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, these guys were great, you know. I mean, like I said, that era was different. Like, I gave up George Brett's 100th hit. And his 100th first and his 102nd also, but, you know. So that was a thrill.
Jack,
what about Thurman Munson?
Well, that was my first start in the big leagues was against the New York Yankees, you know. And it was great because, you know.
They started you off easy.
Yeah, they started me off easy. But, you know, Thurman Munson, I ended up striking him out with the bases loaded. So that's, you know, memories. That's all I got left at 72 years old.
And he was not a strikeout guy.
No, so. But he was great.
Today, everybody strikes out 2-3 times
a game. 180 a year.
Well, they're all trying to hit bombs, you know. I mean, you know, nobody knows Pete Rose anymore. All they know is, you know, a guy that hits 30, 40 home runs.
Yep.
Well, the Arise kid that's won the batting title that's in San Diego now.
Yep.
He's Tony Gwynn, Pete Rose.
Those guys were great, man. Pete Rose is one of the greatest guys I've ever met. I had the honor of playing with him.
They could hit a dime going 110. You know?
Really? You got to play with him?
Oh, yeah. With the Phillies. Yeah, I remember Pete Rose called the house one day. I was up at the local, we'll say, restaurant. You know, it was a bar.
Okay. Kind of figured that, but go ahead.
My sister came running in. She goes, you got to go home. I go, is Mom and Dad all right? They go, yeah. I go, well, what's the matter? She goes, well, Pete Rose called. I said, well, tell him I'll call him back. You know, that's no big deal.
and everybody else is. And that's the thing is you get. That's the thing that I've always enjoyed talking to you about is you got to meet these guys as people. Now my childhood neighbor, Bob Fungi, who you knew, he got to AAA with the Cardinals. And you know, you'd go overseas, you'd go to Venezuela, or you'd go to Latin America and go play in the winter. And he played a couple winters with Pete, and he used to tell me some pretty interesting stories about Pete in country and out of country, you know.
Oh yeah,
Pete sitting in front of a mirror, but then Pete, you know, the concepts of, you know, you could watch two ants race and Pete would maybe he was like Jordan, they'd maybe bet you on which one.
Oh, he would
win.
Too.
Highly competitive.
My roommate was Goose Gossage, you know. He was great. I mean, he was so funny.
Original flamethrower.
Yeah, he could bring it, and you know, his wife corner. My mother actually made him and his wife a nativity set because my mother was into ceramics, and I don't know, he's just a great guy. I mean, you get to the big leagues and you're playing with guys like, you know, Ronnie Sano and Dick Allen.
There's the one for me when you said Dick Allen, because a lot of people, Dick Allen just got in posthumously in the Hall of Fame, and Dick Allen was what, Punxsutawney or up that way?
Yep.
And could flat out, it was him and his brother. Now, his brother got to the big leagues for a minute, but Dick Allen, if any of you go back and research, Dick Allen was a flat out
beast. I'll tell you a story about
beast.
Dick Allen. We're playing, we're in Cleveland, and he was, you know, he was first baseman, and he thought there was two outs, and ball thrown, second baseman throws in a ball, there's a guy in second, he rolls the ball back to the mound, starts walking off the field, the guy came around third and scores. Dick Allen, nobody wanted to say anything, but Dick Allen sitting in the dugout, and he goes, "I'll get it back." That's all he said. Next time up, he hits a shot over the left field fence, runs around the bases, scores tied, comes in, doesn't say a word. Next time up, he hits a shot over the right field fence, runs around the bases, comes in, sits down. Everybody looks at him. He goes, "I told you I'd get it back."
And he was the original terminology when he used to talk about buggy whipping the ball.
Oh, he was.
Remember his hands? He would.
His bat was so heavy, too, man.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Oh, my God. He was just a great guy. I remember we're sitting in the hotel. My parents were there, and Dick Allen sitting, you know, standing there talking to reporters. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And I says, "Mom and Dad, he can come when he wants, but if I don't get to the clubhouse, it's a $1,000 fine. I got to go." So I'm sitting by locker, you know. I'm all dressed. Dick Allen walks in. He goes, "Who were you standing next to?" I said, "My mom and dad." He goes, "Why didn't you introduce them to me?" I said, "Dick, you were standing with all those reporters." He says, "Jack, I'm never too busy to meet a player's parents. Where are they at?"
He said, "I would never think that about grouchy looking Dick Allen.
Right.
He made me walk down the dugout onto the field, called the usher over. He says, "Where are they at?" I said, "Up there." We walked up. I says, "Mom, Dad, this is Dick Allen. Dick Allen, this is my mom and dad, Joe and Ann." He goes, "Glad to meet you. Your son was too ignorant to introduce us at the clubhouse." He looks at me and goes, "What are you still standing for? Get out there and shag." He sat down and talked to my parents for a good 45 minutes.
And that's how
school. Who in the world would ever think of that story with him?
Because he was portrayed as being so grouchy. Like
he was standoffish with
the. He loved the players, but he just hated the press.
Oh, he did.
And they spun amazing.
Was Ralph Garr playing in that?
Yeah, Ralph Garr, Gator. Call him Gator.
That's the era where I was collecting baseball cards, so I would believe it or not, unfortunately, manhandle these cards that are worth a fortune, keep them in my pocket.
Oh, he was so funny, Gator.
But I used to have him, and I'd have
Carlos
these lineups.
May.
And yeah, whoa. Carlos,
all the May brothers. How many brothers in that family?
Willie Montanez,
Derek. There's a ton. Oh,
yeah, something. I still get cards in the mail every day to sign. I mean, every day there's 2-3 cards.
That's
and
great,
I've seen him though. Like he'll I've seen I've been around Jack and he'll like he'd come and sit down and he'd pull an envelope out and he'd start go. I said, "You still?" But people,
they keep sending them.
Yep,
I had 3 of them yesterday.
You were on the Hall of Fame of Very Good. That's I don't know how many of you ever seen that on. They have a rating system now with on Instagram and Facebook and everything like that. And you talk about all these, you know, legends, and then they have the Hall of Fame of Very Good. Guys that were great players, but they were never, whether they were underrated or, you know, and Jack was part of that history of very good.
Well, I was the second person in the history of the game to record with a radar gun behind home plate.
Yep, we talked about that.
Nolan Ryan was the first.
Yeah. Well, you and him, what was it? He threw, how many pitches did you throw in that game? And tell me how many he threw. This is crazy in today's market.
Well, I threw a nine-inning game against Kansas City, and I won 2-1 and threw 168 pitches.
Oh, wow.
Some guys don't throw that in a month.
Nolan Ryan in one game threw 237 or 238.
Yes, he did. And that's
that is incredible.
Well, I didn't know a game in A ball when I first signed. I struck out 13 and walked 10. What was that, about 220?
This is listen. This is one of the greatest stories ever. And I heard this as a young kid. And Jack can tell this. It's his story, but it's hysterical. Tell him about the no hitter when guys would get the three balls, like 3-0.
Oh, 3-0.
The 3-0 game. This is the most hysterical thing I'd ever heard in baseball.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, when a guy got three balls and no strikes, you know, I ain't going to come back and throw, you know, three strikes. So you just did the next best thing. You just hit him. That's one pitch. So I don't know how many guys I hit 3-0 is ridiculous. And I'll tell you, it was actually a game. It was in AAA, it was. And, you know, we're going along. And
there was some bonus involved, wasn't there? Like if you threw a no-hitter and you were like, okay, well, they get the 3-0, a perfect game, I think it was. And you basically, with I don't know how that's delegated, keeping score. But how many did you strike out? You struck out a ton of people in that game. You either struck them out or hit them.
Yeah, it was one or the other. But I can tell you, it was. And next thing you know, I'm sitting there in the dugout, and everybody, you know, I got a cigarette in this hand, a cigarette in that hand, one in my mouth, and I don't even smoke. Everybody looks at me and I go, like, I don't know, I got a no-hitter going.
What did they call that back then when guys had smoked? There was a term for it.
Yeah.
Burners, I think. He's got a burner.
But anyway, so I go out there and get 1-2-3, and the first game I ever threw, a no-hitter. I walked down, how many people hit? About five guys, and they were just too scared to hit. They thought I'd hit them. But like I said, you know, the fastest pitch ever thrown was Nolan Ryan in the ninth inning against B.B. Richards. Back then, they clocked us 10 feet from home plate.
Yeah, we're saying.
So that pitch he threw against B.B. Richards in the ninth inning was 100.9. When they do the math out of the hand, like they clock him now, it was 109 miles an hour.
That you know, that part of the game is funny because my dad used to go out with Sparky Lyle when he would come to town because he's from DuBois, and some of my dad worked with him at Copperweld, Dewey Gray and Andy Gray. So, I mean, they're sitting out there at night, bar hopping around with the game before. I mean, just different time that wasn't even considered a big deal. But now, I mean, they frown on that.
Just the guys, the personalities, the characters of the game.
Yeah, I pitched in DuBois. Yeah, DuBois, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Hey, here's another one for you, Jack. And this—I don't know if this is one you look. I know you smile about it. You played in the shorts.
Oh yeah, I love
the White Sox. The White Sox.
You know what?
You still have that uniform.
I still have the uniform.
So back in when I was a young, I was probably 8 or 10. I don't know what year was that, Jackie.
Well, that would have been 1974-75.
74-75 season. Bill Veeck. Bill Veeck decided, okay, if you've ever seen really good travel softball teams in the old days, they had long shorts.
Yep.
And then they had the lapel jerseys.
I still have the jersey.
Jack has the picture of the jersey. And it was a big deal. And like people today, like they show pictures and they go, they did what? You'll never see it again.
I like
that. But back then it was the best. Now that was Fisk with you then?
Yeah, Fisk and Oscar Gamble.
Oh, the hair.
But you know what? Those uniforms, if you really stop and think about it, you had high socks that came up below your knee, and the shorts came down almost. So the only thing was showing was your knees, basically.
Right.
But it was neat.
If you knew how to slide, you wouldn't tear your legs.
Yeah, but the shirts were, you didn't tuck them in. They were
not. Yeah,
it was the most comfortable uniform. It was so comfortable, 90 degrees. Oh, my God, I loved it.
Anybody that's really interested in baseball, especially some of the younger listeners, go back and look at those uniforms because that was, back then, that was a big deal.
Well, if they come to Jimmy Devine's place and I'm there, I can show you a picture of it.
No, there's a whole collage of them all. Some of the pictures, some of the uniforms. You were with Toronto early when Toronto was an expansion.
Yep, Toronto, 1980.
Yep. Was that playing over the border?
It was all right, just a pain, you know, going. Well, we didn't have to go through the customs and all that, you know, because the charter would fly in.
Half the team wouldn't get across from.
Yeah.
What were you getting as a AAA player? How much money were they paying then?
Oh, it was only about $1,800 a month, $2,000 a month, something like that. It all depends. Most of your AAA players are under major league contracts, so.
I think yeah, that when you talk about Chape, I think he had that when he was bouncing. Yeah.
He didn't make the cut.
Yeah, it was so Florida,
So here's the thing with Darren. I played with him. He was behind me at shortstop. And I always tease him because I pitched 10 innings against Mark Fauner in the finals of our double A. Back then,
yeah,
it was champion, Newton Falls. It was warm. It was double A.
Right.
Schools were either triple A, double A. So 10 innings, I finally got taken out. I let two guys get on. And I told our coach, I'm done. He said, F, I got to put Chape in it. And I joked with him all the time.
To this day.
So, and he gives up the two runs. So now it's going to be this saddle with the loss. And I came up, two outs. I really didn't even want to bat. I thought, you know what? I've done enough in this game. I had a couple good hits. I pitched 10 innings. And here I come, just two guys on. He throws me and he had a really good slider, but he tried to sneak a fastball in there. And they went out to the mound talk. You want to just put him? Nah. So me and Mark laugh about that because if he'd have just not been so stubborn and just let, and I hit a three-run homer to win the game. So I go, Darren, I had to pull you out. You lose the game for me. I have to pull it out by
myself. You can see the steam come out of Darren's ears.
But Darren spent all those years fighting in those single A, double A, and finally gets up there and doesn't stay enough to. I mean, that's.
There wasn't his. If there's a story, and if we ever have Darren on.
He hurt his.
I know the story behind Darren chafing. Screwball.
But there's only been like, how they say, it's like 20,000 players ever played in the big leagues in 130 years.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to fire some bullets at you here, Jack, because I know we're going to be winded, and I want to get this out to the public. Favorite manager?
Chuck Tanner.
Newcastle guy.
Yep. Nice guy, though.
Great guy. I had his. Remember when you first came? Nice we had guy. His grandson played for Levy, and
Chuck
Tanner
was the greatest.
His son, Bruce.
Yep.
Chuck used to come down to the building. Yep. Bruce, I think, is still floating around the game. Wildest player you played with, and I know you. I can think of one, but I'm going to see who you come up with.
Oh God, wildest. Jeez, there was but all of them were pretty crazy.
Who was the kid that got the great pitcher got banned for drugs? When you were at the White Sox.
Oh, Steve Trout?
No. Him and then
Steve
who was
Trout
the other
did?
Kid?
Really?
Who was the other kid? Oh, gosh. I can't think of his name. I could see him. Beard.
Yeah.
Real rough looking. He had about 2-3 years. He was lights out, and then they banned him from baseball because he was out of control.
Was that White Sox?
Yeah. Favorite roommate?
Oh, Goose Gossage by far. Well, Ken Kravick and I roomed together. I mean, we had more fun, but
the goose.
Gossage was just crazy. I love the guy.
highest moment of your career, highlight of your career.
Oh, just
if you had one thing. Like you were gonna go, you'd hang your hat on and go beat that.
Well, like I said, the biggest thrill of my life was just getting there because my parents. That's all they ever dreamed about. You know, my grandfather kept box scores over the radio and. You know, the day I signed and got to the big leagues, it was just to call my parents and say, I made it. You know, that was probably the biggest thrill. But I don't know. It's either giving up George Brett's 100th hit or striking out Thurman Munson.
I think we're going to go with the striking out.
I think we'll go with striking out.
I'm giving up a hit's not something that you want to keep on your mantle.
I always tell people that I got a ball in the Hall of Fame. Jordan does 100.
You know what? I didn't even think of that. But hey, who is the best player? Now, the best player could have been Triple A. The best player, raw talent that you played with
Dick
or
Allen,
against.
Dick Allen. Dick All right. Allen. There's no.
I thought that would be coming.
Yeah, Dick Allen was just. I mean, and the thing about Dick, he was just a great
was
guy.
Was Wilbur Wood on that team?
Wilbur Wood, yeah. Wilbur Wood was there, the old knuckleball. Boy, I hate playing catch with him.
His records would be like 18 and 19.
He started both ends of a doubleheader.
How about that one, people? Yeah. You'd never see that.
Yeah, I mean, he was
12 and 22.
And the most
record.
Out of shape guy you'd ever want to see.
He just pushed it.
He had that wind up where he bounced the thing. Yeah. And
how about favorite catcher that you threw to?
Brian Downing was.
Brian Downing, one of my favorite
the
players.
Brian Downing. I got Brian Downing stories.
I mean, Herman was great, too. I mean, he saved
Brian
my
Downing.
Butt
he hung
times.
Around a long time, Brian Downing.
He quit catching.
He was into the 80s.
He quit catching.
Well,
started
into
hitting bombs.
Yep. He could hit, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, as he got going.
What about the dislike player?
Oh. Who are you throwing at, Jack? He's the one number one guy. If he come up, you're throwing at him. There, that's a great question.
Barry Bonds would be one of them if I ever faced him. But
you faced his dad, right?
Yeah, I faced. Well, I played with his dad.
Did you face?
Oh, that's right. He was
you
on.
You faced Willie Mays too.
No, not.
Oh, because they didn't have cross league then.
Yeah, no, they.
He was never near me.
But no, I mean, but I don't know. I mean, there was a. I mean, anybody looked at me cross-eyed, I'd just drill. I mean, I mean, it was a different era back then.
Oh yeah.
'02. You know, if there's two outs, 0-2, the guy's going down. You're going to come. You're just going head hunting. But nowadays, you throw inside, they find you.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I want to say. Like I said, not to beat a dead horse. I've known Jack for 45 years, and I'm going to say, everywhere I've been, professional baseball, because I've had Jack and Tommy know that I've had some stuff from scouting, in recruiting, doing what we do. Everywhere I've been, and I've run into some, you know, God bless, I was never in the big leagues, never played professionally, but I've traveled in some circles through IMG and everything else. I bring up the name Jack Cusick to anybody that had anything to do with professional baseball in the big leagues through the early 70s to the 80s and beyond, when Jack, because a lot of people don't know, there was a period of time here where there was a group led by Jack and another gentleman that they were trying to get a professional baseball team here. Okay.
We had
you guys were in
too.
The running. You guys were in the running when the Scrappers, the original foundation of the Scrappers, and there was a time where that said gentleman was going to put a stadium in downtown Youngstown
between the two bridges
and have a pro team. And that was AAA. prior to so your travels, you know, with Bill Veeck and Bill Veeck Jr. and, you know,
we had their AAA coming.
Yep. I remember that.
Yep.
And like I said, you know, and then the, you know, but the advent of, you know, Mickey Monis and the Rockies and those guys, and yeah. Baseball's got a rich heritage, and we got to get back to it. And there's guys like this that need to.
It was fun times.
Oh, I just listen to the stories, man, and it's awesome. But that's what I wanted to say is, you're never going to hear a crossword in the professional baseball world about Jack Cusick. Anytime you say his name, everybody just smiles and shakes their head and goes, Jack.
It was fun. It was just a great time. It was a different era. You signed autographs. You stayed after as long as somebody wanted it. You know, it was just different. It was just fun. It was a great time.
Well, there wasn't as much money. There wasn't as much the autograph business and memorabilia businesses weren't as
yeah.
weren't really that prevalent. And then they became a big market. And now, you know.
Yeah, mill money was like $30.
And then
now
you got Ray Fosse, who was probably. Could have ended up being one of the best of all time, gets run over at home plate by Pete. You know, nobody's doing that today. Nobody's
no,
running
too
over.
Much money. There's too much.
I mean,
money.
It's just not something.
It's yeah.
Not oh, I got one last one. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
last one. Best brawl you were involved in. There you go. That's one. Best brawl.
Yeah.
What was the greatest brawl in the history of your career?
Yeah, because you know you had to empty the dugouts. So
we went up to it a few times, but usually when that ends up happening, you know somebody on the other team, you just grab each other and start laughing.
Right, wrestling around, yeah.
You know, I
but
mean,
the ones it, that, but there have been ones where it was just the teams literally just didn't like each other.
Yeah, there's a few when I drill a guy and yeah, but yeah, no.
You're a big guy. I don't like if I've researched archives. I haven't seen too much. I've seen. Film of you hitting a guy, I didn't see a lot of guys try and come running out to the mound.
No, because here's the thing. When you throw 100-some miles an hour, if you drill them once, you know you can drill them again. So nobody really charged the mound after you hit them. But, you know.
Didn't Reggie Smith go out and kick one of the pitcher in the head? I think I remember tons of stories.
Well, then this catcher wasn't fast enough because the catcher usually stops them by the time they get out there, unless they go walk halfway down the first baseline and then come at you.
I think Greg Nettles was like a big fighter.
Campanaris throwing the bat.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is you know, I'll tell you all your pitchers, if you don't have the ball and the guy comes running at you, just take your glove off, throw it at his head, then go get him.
Block his view.
That's right.
Yeah, you see a lot of guys.
That's the move to make right there.
Yeah, I made that one a few times.
once in a while, you'll see some of these, you know, the bigger closers, you know, go out and, you know, Harper and whomever.
So. I just tell you, it was just a great time. That's all. It was just
we
a great
just
time.
Got the infamous middle finger from the...
Carl's a great guy. Though. I know.
We're getting done.
We promote him as he's this big ogre. We couldn't ask for a better director, producer, and just great supporter of the show.
And he knows how to do this too. So that's why
Hey, I can tell you, if you need to learn how to hit, go to Jimmy Devine's place. I'm telling you.
Jack, yeah. You chime that in. Thank you.
Come in there. Come on. Give him your phone number.
Phone number, Diamond 9, 330-766-6790. Anything you need in baseball equipment.
Yep.
Support, sports psychology, if you've got a kid. That
and we need sponsors, so don't be afraid to get involved, because it is a great package ESPN 94.7 has.
If you want to hear some stories, let me know.
I want to shout out to TJ Perline Asphalt Company, too, is going to be jumping on as a sponsor. I'm sure you got a few before we go.
I wanted to thank Gatta Construction, the Levy family, Levy Steel, Jesse DiGiacomo, our facility, the Den, great guy.
Yeah.
A good friend of the show, Judy Shalik. And then we have mentioned Enzo's.
Yeah, Enzo's.
Yep. So, and we're moving along.
Let us know.
We've
got a lot more that are going to jump on. So get involved now before it's too late.
Because we get really expensive.
Yeah. And then, there's only so many banners we can put up at the venue. So take advantage of that. Thanks, everybody. Hope you like the show. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you might want to see. My Facebook is Tom Sharp, TomSharp, and Jim Devine. You can get on
mine,
there.
And there's about six different ones with Diamond 9 and you too. Yep. You can find them all. And we want to thank Jack for taking the time and coming
yes,
over.
Yes, Jack, thank you.
Regaling us with his history.
I wanted to hear some of these stories.